Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. All right. Today I have for you another interview, which I'm so excited to share with you today, because today we have Leslie Schoenfeld on with us. And Leslie has a very unique ministry, and that is dealing with the mentorship of millennials. And she will expand upon that here in just a moment. But I'm just really excited to talk about this topic because I think it is one that's important today in our culture. Millennials tend to have a bit of a bad rap. And I'm pretty sure I fall in the millennial age group, but we're going to talk more about that in a second. So I'm going to hand it over right now to Leslie and let her explain who she is, what she does. And so go ahead, Leslie, tell us about yourself.
Hi, well, and thank you, Allison, for having me here today.
My pleasure.
I'm the founder of Dragonfly Ministry, and we started in 2008. And one of my goals is to help women learn how to fly. And when we say fly, that means that we are fruitful in our relationship with others, especially people in different generations, mm-hmm. and that we are linked together, building community, and that we are yielded to the Lord to move and build his kingdom in the way he wants us to.
I love that. I did not know that about your ministry. I knew you had one, but I wasn't entirely sure what it was. And that's really cool. I was wondering where the dragonfly part came in. Well, before we dive into a book you wrote, that's what I mostly want to talk about today, because you wrote a book on this topic. I got to ask you a couple questions that I ask all interviewees. And that is, what is your favorite Bible verse and why? And then, do you have a special talent that no one knows about? And what is it?
Okay, well, my favorite Bible verse is John 1:12. However, I have a lot of favorite Bible verses, but John 1:12 says that through Jesus, we've been given the right to be called the child of God. And when you delve into that word right and the depth of that word, it is very powerful. And it can launch us into being empowered to do exactly what God wants us to do, because we are his children, heirs to his kingdom. And then my skill that most people don't know is I can build a one-match campfire.
No way. That's really impressive.
Well, I was a camp counselor for years, so, you know, you learn to do that.
I would like to learn how to do that, because we have lots of bonfires around our house, but if my husband's not home, I cannot get the thing lit ever. So, maybe we can have a Q&A about that a different time. That's very cool. And I do love John 1:12. I love that how you pointed out the right, and when you dive into the right and how we have the right to do his will. That's just very profound. I love how God's word, you can just take a look at a verse and then look at it through someone else's perspective and see it entirely differently. And I feel that way about John 1:12 now. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So tell us about your book. What's your book called? What drew you to write on that topic?
The book is called Legacy, and it is about my journey into mentoring. It really started because I had a number of young women that I was mentoring, and had other people saying, oh, that's so good. And I just look at them and say, well, you can do it too. This is not that hard. And everyone my age kept saying, no, I can't. I don't have the skills. I don't know how to do this. How do you reach them? And I realized it's a message that really needs to get out, because for me, what happened naturally was more difficult for other people. So that's what the book is about.
Awesome. I love it. And I do. I think it's definitely really important and something that anyone can do, especially after reading your book. You really do a good job of laying out the possibilities and how we are empowered through the Lord to do this type of thing. So you have a very unique perspective on millennials, and I kind of want to hone in on that. What drew you specifically to the millennial generation, and what gives you the unique perspective that you have?
Well, the first thing is I was around a lot of millennials because two of my children are at the later end of the millennial generation.
Gotcha.
But the other thing is that I just learned so much from them. And honestly, they came to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go seek them out. And it started with one young woman just saying, hey, can we get coffee sometime?
Nice.
And at the time, I was the leader of our women's ministry. And so, of course, your flag goes up and says, yes, of course. You're a young woman that wants to interact and connect. I definitely want to get coffee with you. And that's how it started.
You mentioned in your book that sometimes millennials will be, or oftentimes one thing that characterizes a millennial is they want that mentorship. They put on a facade that they're okay and that they don't need help, but they almost have a hard time like crossing that threshold and actually asking for the help because they don't want to be a burden. And I totally, when I read that, I totally can relate to that because like even just asking people for prayer, I know the power of prayer and I'm a huge prayer warrior and I am constantly encouraging people to tell me how I can pray for them. But when it comes the other way, I have a hard time with that. So I can see that part that you were talking about that millennials tend to have a hard time, but you're finding in your experience, they do want to be mentored. They do want that mentorship.
Yes. But the other part of the millennial generation is it's very difficult for them to trust because they're getting so much information. This is my opinion, but they get so much information from social media and other forms of media that is so conflicting that it's really hard for them to sort out what the truth is and who is trustworthy. So the only people that they really would turn to and say, would you pray for me or would you meet for me or whatever, is someone that they've already established a relationship with. They're not going to go cold up to somebody that, even if they're a member in their church or someone that they've known their whole lives, if they don't have an established trust relationship, it's really hard for them to reach out.
So you're saying that relationship is the most important, like a very important step, having a genuine relationship.
That is key.
Key.
That is key. And that relationship starts by simply making yourself available very slowly. It takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But saying hello, calling people by name, that means you recognize them as an individual, not just another person in the church.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first writing this, I met with a number of young women and I asked them, and they said, oftentimes older people walk right by them and don't even acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I asked the older people, why don't you acknowledge them? They said, well, they always look like they don't want to be talked to.
They're afraid. There's fear.
Yeah. Yes. And it's really, in my opinion, a scheme of the enemy to cause division.
For sure.
When we're one big family. So
definitely.
We need to overcome that fear on both sides.
Agree. I was just reading with my kids about Babel, the Tower of Babel, and how powerful they were when they were united and they had no division in them. And then God came and confused their languages. But before that, like it says in scripture, how they could do anything with the amount of unity and cooperation they had amongst themselves. And so, yeah, I do think it's interesting that that's one of the enemy's key tactics is division and rooting fear in ourselves of one another. Can you clarify? I should have asked this earlier, but I think this is so like one of the most commonly misunderstood generations in terms of who is it? Because I really feel like when people say millennial, they're thinking just like the high schooler or the college student right now, when in reality, like I, for example, I have a sister and she may be listening to this and that's fine. She will scornfully call me a millennial when in reality, she actually is one too. So can you please, and I hope she listens to this and hears that she in fact is a millennial. Can you tell us what the generation is in the age range?
Yeah, and I go by date of birth,
mm-hmm,
opposed to the age range because obviously it changes every year. And I have a workbook that goes with the book, and this is all, each one of these generations are talked about. Millennials specifically are 1977 to 1996. Now, there's some wiggle room in there. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a little bit earlier than 77 and a little bit later than 96. But there's also a sub-generation that people call Xennials, which is in between Millennials and Generation X, which is 1977 to 1983. Because oftentimes those that were born earlier don't relate to those that were born later, but they share characteristics.
All right, well, that clears that up, because my sister would be the earlier one and I'm the later one. So that, that clears that up. But very interesting. So what drew you specifically to that generation? Like you said, because you're around them a lot, you found that they were coming to you. But like, are you drawn to any of these later generations, or why specifically the millennials?
Well, I think I do also mentor Gen Z, which is the next generation after them. So they were born from 1997 to 2017. Excuse me. But millennials more so, because they are the ones that have come of age and are very frustrated with much of the way that the world is going. And more than anything, they desire to be heard. And by mentoring them one-on-one, it gives them a platform to be heard, but also to be to work out what they really do believe, because there's so much information coming at them. So that particular generation I'm attracted to, I really think it's because of their deep desire to do great good. I also believe that this generation is somewhat of a Joshua generation, and that there's a great calling on them. And I honestly can't be more specific than that. It's just something in me. So, and again, that unity is going to allow them to move forward in what God's calling them to do.
I would agree with that for sure. And when you said like that they have a place to be heard and work out what they believe, I think that's huge, because I think one of the key issues that I see is that we feel like we need to make a difference or make an impact or speak and be heard. And we do it on social media. And in my opinion, I don't think that's the best place to do it, because we're not working it out. We're not discussing it. We're just declaring it and then putting it out there for everybody to tear down and like completely, it's not discussion friendly at all on social media. I think it's a place where people feel emboldened and to say something to you that they wouldn't particularly say offline or in person, face to face. And so I just think it breeds a very artificial and unhealthy place where we think we're working out what we believe and we think we're making a difference in the world, but in reality, it's maybe not the best place to do that. I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm definitely on social media, and I actually do a lot of ministering on social media, but it's been particularly difficult recently. I think what we lose in social media is the facial recognition and that compassion, those unspoken emotions that are in our face that we can interact with, whereas when you're just typing, you're just putting out your facts or your statements, you're not, people can't see. There was no ill intent behind that statement. It was just a statement.
Right.
Or there was a lot of ill intent behind that statement.
Right.
So, depending on what the purpose, person's purpose was for making that statement.
Right.
So, yes, there is a definitely social media, is a good tool for us, but it cannot be our community.
Ah, that's pretty powerful. I'm going to write that down. I agree. It definitely is a great tool, but you're right. It cannot be our community and our only community for sure. So so do you think that mentorship is vital for the future of our culture? Now that you mentioned like that the millennials feel like this calling on themselves and this deep calling and a desire to work out what they believe. How do you feel mentorship is going to play a role in that for the future of our culture?
back in scripture. And we see that in the book of Titus, that it is not a, mentoring is not a gift that you get or an individual calling. It is a spiritual command for older women to teach younger women, for older men to teach younger men. And I use that word teach loosely because that people get scared by that because, like, well, I don't have a lot of knowledge or I don't feel comfortable or whatever. I don't have all the answers. Well, none of us do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Only Jesus has all the answers. So
exactly.
It is more of a position of doing the life together. Because if you look at the things that is listed in Titus of what women should show younger women, it's this is what I do culturally in my family, and I want you to be able to do this for your family. So let's watch one another and let me help you learn. It's exactly what Naomi did for Ruth.
Right. Right, exactly. And I was actually going to ask you about that because in your book, you go through and you talk about different examples from scripture and of different mentor-mentee relationships. And I was going to ask you which one most spoke out to you. I mean, you had a lot of different examples there, everything from Naomi to Ruth to Elizabeth and Mary to Elijah. I'm saying them wrong. And Moses and Joshua. Which one would you say would be the most, I don't know, important to you or that really spoke to you?
There's two. The first one is probably the strongest is Paul and Timothy.
Oh, yes.
Because by nature, I'm a teacher. So Paul was a teacher, and I can really relate to the way that he trained Timothy and launched him out into ministry. But I also love the fact that Paul refers to Timothy as his spiritual son. And that is my end goal. Now, that doesn't happen with every young person that I mentor. They don't all become daughters to me because they're not looking for that kind of relationship. But some do. And the other one that's really important to me is the Ruth and Naomi, because Ruth should have been an outcast as a Moabite when she came back to Israel with Naomi. But Naomi taught her the things she needed to know, not only to become this amazing woman that we read about, but literally she's in the physical lineage of Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is profound.
It is profound. I absolutely agree. And we see that throughout the lineage of Jesus. If we go through and just look at who God chose in the lineage of himself in human form, in Jesus Christ, he chose the most imperfect, unlikely people that we, then if it were us who were going to map it all out and choose it all, we would have never chosen those people. And yes, like you had mentioned, a Moabite, a foreigner, he chose Ruth to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And then you have, I'm drawing a complete blank, Rahab and even Judah.
Tamar, yes. And Bathsheba.
Yes. And Bathsheba and it's very encouraging because it's like, I think a lot of times we feel like we need to be perfect for the Lord. And when I hear people say like, I'm not wanting to use my gifts because it's not perfect yet for the Lord. I've heard this argument before. And my response is that that's the enemy trying to hold you to a standard of perfection that you can't achieve. We aren't called to be perfect for the Lord, but we're called for the Lord to use us. And you had mentioned in your book that a lot of times, and you kind of mentioned it already, people don't feel equipped to mentor or to disciple. And so what would your encouragement be to that person who is interested in mentoring or who does want to take this biblical command of mentorship seriously, but they don't feel equipped? Do they need to be perfect? What about if they have a yucky past? What would you say to them?
Actually, that makes them even better. When you have a past that the Lord is bringing you through and you've learned from that, and you start sharing those parts when you've developed the relationship with your mentee, that makes you more human. Mm-hmm. And now, as far as having to have a certain amount of skill sets. I don't think you do. The most important thing you have are 2 ears.
Mm-hmm.
And those ears, any relationship, the way you really develop is to truly listen to the person. And not even necessarily listen to what they're saying at the time, because especially when you're first getting to know a millennial, they might be a little defensive or not sure what they can share. Mm-hmm. What you look at is what is behind the words. Mm-hmm. And it may take a while to do that, but you hear that just by sitting and saying, how was your day? What are you working on right now? What is Dad having you work on, or what are you doing for a living? Why did you choose that career? And you start to see the whole person, mm-hmm. and you start to have a better understanding who they are. There's oftentimes when I have someone sitting across from me and they share a very difficult situation, and well, what is your advice in this? And I honestly say, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray, and then I'll follow up with you in a phone call in a week or a text or whatever and ask you how you're doing in that situation. And if I get anything, I will share it with you. But no, you're not going to walk through this alone. Even if I don't have the answer, mm-hmm. I know the one who does. And so I'm going to walk through this with you as an encourager to just try to follow Jesus.
I like that a lot. And you did mention that, and you made a big point about that, that the most important thing is not your relationship with the person that you're mentoring, but rather your relationship with God. And that goes on both parts. Basically, to sum up what you just said, you basically are saying, like, we don't need to be perfect and we don't need to have all the answers, but we just need to be faithful in trusting in the one who does have all the answers, and point ourselves continually back to Christ and the millennial as well. So you mentioned that the most important thing to do is to have that relationship with the Lord. So what if the person that you're mentoring doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, or do you only mentor Christian millennials?
I have young women that are in various stages of their faith walk. Mm-hmm. Currently not mentoring anybody that doesn't know the Lord, but I have some that are babies.
Gotcha.
The Lord. But I would mentor anyone that comes to me. However, I tell them if they're serious about it, they need to send me the dates and times that they're available. Mm. And then I immediately follow up with and make a firm date with them, because I kind of put it back on them for that first time. Because if you really, really want to meet with me, I've said I will meet with mm-hmm. you. You have to take some responsibility in the relationship. Nice. So it all depends on where they're at and why they want to meet with me. Most of them, it's because they want to grow in ministry. So they're Christians already.
Okay.
Like I said, that's the best way to answer.
Okay. And so that leads me to my next question then, more of a, I'm drawing a blank on the word I want, but a tangible way to get started, for someone who wants to take that command more seriously to mentor, the younger generation. What would you say, where do we find these millennials that want to be mentored? Like, how do we pick these people up? What would your tips be there?
Right. The first place is to make yourself visible where they're at. Mm. So, that would be at church. I mean, if you're at church and you're looking to mentor, it's a little bit difficult now because not everybody's meeting. I understand that. But in general, you would greet them. Make sure you find out what their name is. If you see somebody that the Lord says, tap that one on the shoulder. Or you understand what I'm trying
yep.
to say. You know, maybe you should make a connection with them. The first thing you do is you just go up and introduce yourself. You ask their name, and then you do whatever you can to remember their name. So the next time you see them, like, you just walk by them and I'd say, oh, hi, Allison, how are you today? And you would respond back, and then that would be it. Mm-hmm. It's a very slow process. On the other hand, another place where I have,
I see a lot of millennials as in coffee shops.
Yeah.
So you make yourself a regular at a particular coffee
shop. Okay.
People say to me, but I don't drink coffee. Well, get tea.
Right.
Talk about the coffee. Or, you know, any place that you know that younger people are more apt to be, that you feel comfortable being as well. And you continue to make a relationship with them or seek out a relationship with them. But most of the time, in my experience, is it just happens. One of the young women that I mentor was a substitute teacher at where I work. Mm. And she just said to me one day, hey, can we have lunch together? Because I don't really know anybody here. Sure.
Perfect.
And that was because I smiled and said hello to her in the hallway.
Right.
And now she is actually a board member on my ministry.
Oh, that's so really great. I think in response to that, like what you're saying is that when we open our hearts to be obedient to the Lord, he will make those supernatural connections for us. And we don't, I mean, not that we don't need to put an effort forward, but we also don't need to feel like it's all on us. Like if we say, God, I am ready to do your will and to do the work you've set before me. And I want to be obedient to you. I think there is no doubt in my mind that he will set in front of you those people whom he wants you to mentor. And it sounds like you would agree with that because it sounds like you've had that experience.
Absolutely. And more than anything, our God is a relational God, mm-hmm. and he wants us to build those relationships. So he is going to orchestrate
yes.
the people that come in and out of your life. I mean, and maybe you're not called to mentor millennials. You're called to mentor Generation Z because that's the age of your children.
Right.
Well, if you have children.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you do, but I mean the listener. That's how they become familiar to you because, you know, the one young woman that, another one of the young women that I mentor was one of my daughter's childhood friends. Mm-hmm. And she came to me and said, and I was, oh, okay. Because she knew I mentored, you know, I mean, it's kind of part of who I am now.
Right, right. Sorry, I got lost in it and I was thought you were mentoring me directly. like, yes, I have children. Continue. All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts? Anything that you'd like to share with everyone before we wrap things up?
Well, a couple of things. The most important thing is that we understand that anybody can do this. And that's why I put all the different examples of mentoring from scripture, because they all have different personalities. And that can help you understand better of your mentoring style. So that's really important. And I do workshops that if you come and attend the workshops, part of your package is the book and the workbook.
Oh, cool.
So then you can take it home and work through that to better understand who you are as a mentor.
Awesome.
But really, the main thing that takeaway is that anybody can do this, and each generation has something powerful that they can share with other generations.
Agree so much on everything you're saying. So how can we access this workshop? Where can we find information about it? If someone listening wants to move forward and do that. So I do think that's really cool that you have a package type of thing with the workbook, the book, and your personal teaching. So where can we access that?
They can go to my website, which is dragonflyministry.com. And on there is a place where you can sign up for my newsletter. There's a place where you can just click on the link to purchase the books if you want to do those separately. They can also reach me at my email, which is leslie@dragonflyministry.com. And I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so you can find me there as well. The workshop I have set up to do live, but we can also do virtual ones. Converted over to virtual for this season we're in for anybody that would like to do that. I do ask, though, that we have 10 people. So if you want to do this with a group of friends that we get 10 people together.
Okay.
And then we'll work out the details of that.
Awesome. I love it. I'm going to put all of that information in the show notes for those of you listening so you can refer back to that. Leslie, thank you so much for taking the time to be on with us today. I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your knowledge on this topic, and I'm just thankful for the work that you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a true blessing.
Have an awesome day. Thank you.
You too.
For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.